You are listening to the home of Milwaukee's realest conversations. 1017 FM, 1510 AM WGKB Waukesha, and W269 DL Milwaukee, a locally owned Good Karma brand station. More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Welcome to Hour 2 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. This song, you guys know about this song. This was my theme song for all of the years that I had The Forum, which was the name of my talk show when I was at, I started The Forum with Homer Blow. Homer Blow was broadcasting online radio in like 2006.
Damn.
Way ahead of his time. He had an online only talk radio show, and he played music too, but it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So Homer would do talk during the day and he played music at night. And I came to him with an idea because we were doing the Old School Basement Party, which was an old school hip hop radio show that aired on 98.3 from 6 until 9 every Friday and Saturday night. A couple of times an hour, myself and my colleagues would crack the mic. And we would just, I don't know, sometimes there'd be relevant headlines. We'd do a little bit of news, mostly just us joking around. And because that was so long ago, can I say that we weren't sober doing that show? Is that fine to say? That was a long time ago. Is there a statute of limitation? It's not illegal to consume alcohol on the radio, is it? I try not to because it's you never know what you're going to say. But we weren't. Well, because here's the thing. When we did our show, myself, Homer Blow, Darren D, it was Darren D in the basement crew. Darren D has passed away as well. It was Too Tight Tony and Sammy Jammy and Sherwin Hughes. Well, they all were rappers because we played old school hip hop. So these guys were like, Sammy Jammy is the DJ. He's in Miami now. He's one of the core DJs. So we were very silly. It was a lot of fun. And we would just have a good time, right? But I was like serious about politics at the time. So I actually was invited to fill in for somebody on the basement crew because this is when Obama was first announcing he was running for president. And so Darren was like, hey, we got to talk about the black dude that's running for president. So they already had someone who was kind of like a sometimes the political commentator named Richard Badger. Richard Badger is now the, I guess, the executive director or the curator, or there's a group called We Black, We Golf, and it gets black people more involved in golfing. So that's what Richard does now. Richard has done a whole bunch of things, too. Richard also used to work for the mayor when I worked for the mayor. So Richard Badger has been in and out of politics, but now he's an avid golfer. So now I'm thinking Richard might be retired if you just going to start an organization dedicated to getting black people to golf. However, I digress. So Richard was supposed to be the political commentator on the Old School Basement Party on 98.3. Well, Richard couldn't come one Friday or Saturday. So Richard was like, hey, Sherwin is good. He can fill in for me. And I was nervous. I didn't know what I was going to say because it was a show that wasn't really serious about politics. But at the time, I was very serious about the politics. So I don't know. I did my little segment, whatever. And then Darren was like, hey, come back next week. And that was it. And I became a member of the basement crew, but it got me very like comfortable and familiar with radio. But then I went to Homer. I was like, Homer, I want to do something more serious. And Homer's like, hey, I'll give you a show on blowradio.com. And that's where the forum started. So that's where it originally started. Then started working at WNOV 2 years later. So I exited Homer's online version of the forum hosted by Sherwin Hughes, and I took it over to WNOV. I suppose the rest is history. Let's talk to Bob. You're on 1017 The Truth. How are you?
Hello, Sherwin. You know, where you just said that, you know, maybe you need to start another type of job. I think it happens everywhere you go. People pass away with feelings and And what I really can say about that is we have to try not to grieve too long. You know, and you're doing that. You said, I must talk about the election because you're trying to move ahead. We got to keep moving. It's like I miss LeVert, Muhammad Ali, Richard Pryor, Tina Marie, Whitney Houston, and her daughter, Martin Luther King. And I had five first cousins, all men. And I was cool with all of them. They passed. They were all younger than me. So, you know, I understand how you feel. But you came to work and you dealt with your feelings and you trying to keep moving. That's what we got to do. That's about all I got to say.
Thank you, Bob.
Talk to you later.
I appreciate that, Bob. All right, then, now, Bob. So here's what I'm starting to understand about life. And it seems to redefine itself for me all of the time. Just when I think I have life figured out, life is like, no, you were wrong about literally everything you've ever thought about life, because here's what life is about. Then a week later, life has a new meaning. Talk radio hosts that are African-American that broadcast in Milwaukee die. Listeners live forever. That's what happens. So maybe if I just become a listener and a caller. Because if you add up the ages of Miss Rose and Bob, right, you add it up, that's 160 years.
Damn.
It's a day. It's easily 160. They're just going to be around forever. Me, I don't know if I'm going to make it the damn Friday. Huh? All right. We got to talk about the election. Okay. Can we change gears, guys? Yes. Appreciate all of the. Let me read this last one about Keon. And I got to move on. There was a whole election yesterday. Like 3 out of 10 of you voted. I mean, that's whatever. We got to do better in November, but we're going to talk about the election results. All right. Craig says, Sherwin, me and my cousin Keon talked about you a lot. He loved you, shared stories and all. I told him when you were on WNOV, I was an avid listener. So when you went to the truth, I became a truth listener one since day one. He was always like, traitor. But he loved you too. Just be reassured. Thank you, Craig. It took me a while to be able to read that. But I appreciate you sending that. Okay, can we talk about the election? Partisan Wisconsin primary election includes race for the U.S. House and the Senate, the Wisconsin State Assembly and the Senate, and two constitutional amendment questions, along with some county races. The August partisan primary in Wisconsin determined candidates who will appear on the ballot in November. Wisconsin voters rejected. Thank you for voting no, everybody. You know what it was? We made up a rhyme about voting no because I want it to stick in their minds that when you see the constitutional referenda, you got to vote no. So we came up with some rhymes. Cannot remember what they were, but they obviously worked because I thought it was going to be a lot closer than it was. But I think that also shows because those constitutional referendums were an outgrowth of the Republicans wanting to take power and authority away from the governor. Remember, members of the Wisconsin State Legislature are individually elected by their groups of constituents and their districts. The governor is on every ballot in all 72 counties and all 1,850 municipalities. So the governor does have certain power and authority that the legislators do not have. And one of those powers and authorities that the governor has is when we receive federal money, the governor can allocate it how he sees fit. The best example I can give you is if we had a bunch of tornadoes and had a lot of natural disasters in Wisconsin and we get money from FEMA. And the president signs off, hey, Wisconsin had a bunch of tornadoes. They need $7 billion to repair their infrastructure and to rebuild stuff. Joe Biden, soon Kamala Harris, would write a check to Wisconsin. It would come to the governor. The governor could then, boom, allocate that money to the cities and the towns and the villages that needed it. What the Republican legislature wanted to do is say, no, governor, even if there is a natural disaster in Wisconsin, like a bunch of tornadoes, you can't have the money. We, the legislature, get the money, and all 132 of us have to then decide where the money goes. That would have been a complete nightmare because the legislature can't decide on anything. They can't agree on anything. And so another thing that would happen if those referenda pass, I'm glad they failed, there could be a bunch of tornadoes in the Milwaukee area, in Milwaukee County. I'm gonna give you a real example, and I'm glad that they failed because the explanations and the commercials that you may have seen about voting no on the referendum didn't explain it in the grave detail that I wish they would have. But that's what talk radio was for. We're supposed to demystify stuff for you. Let's say there was a tornado in the Oak Creek or in the Franklins or southern part of Milwaukee. Hell, let's say there was a tornado on 15th and Burleigh. There won't be, because I think tornadoes are scared of 15th and Burleigh. They're like, ha, we'll spin somewhere else if you don't mind. And if those referenda would have passed and we had a bunch of tornadoes or whatever natural disasters in Milwaukee, the Republican-controlled legislature can say, nah, we're not going to give Milwaukee any money because we don't have to. Like, they could actually make that decision. And that is the kind of power they were trying to take away from the governor. The governor, who has to treat all counties fairly, especially when it comes to natural disasters, wouldn't make a partisan decision. The reason why our shared revenue is so incredibly low is because the Republicans that control the legislature in Madison don't want Milwaukee to have the necessary resources that we need and require to be great. If we had more money to invest in the things that this city is lacking, I guarantee you crime would be down, car thefts would be down, carjacking would be down. A lot of our negative indicators could be resolved if we had the money that we need to run this city. Milwaukee is a very expensive city, but we also have a lot of stuff. Just plowing the roads here is expensive. Just picking up the garbage here is expensive. Just cutting the grass on the city-owned property and the boulevards is expensive. That stuff adds up. We got a lot of cops here, too. Got to pay the cops, and they get the benefits and all the other stuff. So Milwaukee is expensive. The Republicans know that when they create a budget, if they shoestring Milwaukee, things are going to suffer. People are going to suffer. And guess what else is going to happen? People are going to move out of the city. They want to depopulate Milwaukee, and they do that by creating budgets that make it sometimes unbearable to live here. And they're doing this very much on purpose. If you take anything away from the conversations that we have about politics, know that the Republicans have almost perfected creating pain for Democratic constituencies. They don't like Milwaukee because Milwaukee doesn't vote for Republicans. In fact, if our turnout is just so in this city, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are going to win. And Donald Trump and J.D. Prance, whatever his name is. You know, they found a picture of him wearing a blonde wig in college. Yeah, they found it. Uh-oh, J.D., you got some splaining to do. They always find like real. Let me say something about real, like super right wing, ultra reactionary, like far hardcore right, don't want women to have any rights, and then they hate the gays. Like, you know, those kind of real super, super conservative. I think that they become that way to try to hide like stuff they did. I think that it's like a mask. I'm a man's man, and women, you got to stay in the kitchen and you can't have any rights, and men control the world and it's the patriarchy and men. Yeah, but you go back in some of their histories, some of them. Hi, I'm J.D. Vance. Hi. I heard you guys are having an open mic drag contest tonight. You are? Oh, my gosh. J.D. Vance's drag name is J.D. Prancer. He just like hops out like a little reindeer on a stage. I'm joking, maybe. But there's always this, like, weird is the right word. Like, this weird, like, something in their background that they're hiding. And the way that you hide it is to become, like, super macho, masculine, and be ultra right wing, and be, like, really, really racist, and be bigoted. Like, I know that stuff is just, like, a defense mechanism for a lot of those guys. All right, I'm gonna take a break, come back. Going to talk about some of the new members that we have representing different pieces and slices of Milwaukee in the Wisconsin State Assembly. And of course, the moment you've all been waiting for, the very controversial 4th Senate District race, in which there were a number of different elections over the past couple of months. There was a July 2nd primary to see who would replace former State Senator Lena Taylor, now Judge Taylor, who was on the circuit court. She's in misdemeanor court, by the way. So they had to have someone fill the remainder of Lena Taylor's term in the state Senate. So that was the July 2nd election. Then they had to have a general election for the remainder of Lena Taylor's term. Then they had to have a partisan primary to see who was going to be elected to the fourth Senate seat for a full 4-year term. I know it was a lot of elections. It got muddy and ugly, and it was all my fault because I had some conversations about the race, so I got dragged by, you know, another talk show host. I'll say this, and I'm going to go to break. Had I not mentioned one single solitary syllable about the 4th Senate race, 4th District Senate race, had I not said a thing, not talked about nothing, the candidates wouldn't have referenced anything in the newspaper, had I not said a doggone word, the result would have been exactly the same. So I'll shoulder the blame for that, I suppose. I'll take the blame. Hell, I've been called everything but the child of God. So I'm used to people always trying to blame stuff on me. And I actually appreciate it. It's like a suit of armor. If somebody thinks that I have that kind of power, dun, 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 then I got ass on my chest. And S stands for Superman and Sherwin. SS. Two, well, not SS because that's Nazi stuff. 1S. Super Sherwin. Take a break. And then we're going to come back. We're going to have a very civil conversation about the election results. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 on the FM dial. If you haven't done so already, go to YouTube.com or open up your YouTube app from your smartphone or other mobile device. Search 101.7 The Truth and hit subscribe. And you'll be able to see our in-studio video, and you'll also be able to chat amongst the peanut gallery. Be careful and be warned. They're a bit of a rambunctious sort. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
The ballot yesterday was complicated. It was convoluted. It was very, very confusing. And a lot of us are expert voters. And I've heard from a number of people, including people in chat, who said it was a Curly that said it, that ballot was confusing. They do that on purpose. It was in English and Spanish. It's on two sides. It's a partisan primary. So, of course, you have instructions on the ballot. You had a lot of races where there were no opponents on the Democratic side, where there were no opponents on the Republican side. If you selected Republican at the top of your ballot, that means that you could only vote for Republican candidates, meaning you couldn't vote for Tammy Baldwin and then vote for a Republican who was running for another office. So it was really complicated. And the deceptive part is when you go to myvote.wi.gov, I think is the website, and you look at your sample ballot, the version of your sample ballot that you see on that website is not even close to the paper ballot that you receive. If you have like a little bit of trouble reading, and you know, we've got very, very high rates of illiteracy, it's functional, but illiteracy in the African-American community, meaning people can't read at a really high level. Most newspapers in this country are written at an eighth grade level, because if they wrote them at a higher level than that, most people wouldn't be able to read them. And that's fact. But the ballot, the one that we received yesterday, like you have to like read because you can mess up and not even know that you messed up. So you got to read it very carefully. You can't forget there's stuff on the back. And then the referendum questions, which I know there are some people, that's the only reason why they came out to vote. Those were on the backside at the very, very bottom. And if you read the description of the referenda, hell, that's confusing too. Many, many years ago, I was on the Wisconsin State Elections Board. Now, they don't have an elections board today like they did back in the day, and that's my fault. I messed that up. No, I'm serious. It's me. I did it. I take full responsibility for us getting rid of the elections board. Because back in the day, the election board was partisan. It was 9 members. And whatever political party that the governor had at the time, that political party got 5 members on the Wisconsin State Election Board. And the party that was not occupying the governor's office got 4 members. At the time, Jim Doyle was the governor, and then he appointed me to be his designee on the board. So the governor got an appointee, the leader of the state Senate and the state assembly got an appointee, a member of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court got an appointee, and then the governor, of course, had the gets the 5th appointee, so everything is in the governor's favor. The Wisconsin State Elections Board until 2000. When did I kill it? 06. Sorry, guys. Now they have the Government Accountability Board, which is nonpartisan. It's a bunch of judges. A lot of judges. That's because they want judges to be fair and impartial, and they don't want them to be partisan. And for the most part, I think they do that, even though some of those judges are very conservative and some of those judges are liberal. So when I was on the State Elections Board, only the 2nd black person, hello, to ever be on the Elections Board, and the youngest person to chair the State Elections Board of any race, but I ruined it. I screwed it up. I'll tell you how in a second. Back then, some of the business that we would take up is, so we had to implement this thing called the Help America Vote Act. So back in the day, if you had any kind of like physical disabilities, any kind of handicaps, it was difficult for you to vote because we only had one kind of voting machine. Now they got touch screens, and now they got audio where you can bring your headphones and you can plug in your headphones. They got Braille and stuff on the voting machines. We didn't used to have that. So we got a federal grant, and we as the election board had to figure out who we were going to hire, what contractor, what vendor to make these new handicap accessible voting machines that we had to install in 1,850 different polling locations. So we had to entertain $1 million contracts for all these voting machines, whatever. But we were also charged with making sure the Wisconsin elections were fair and precise and that the election workers had everything that they needed to conduct elections. So this is back, and I got appointed in 05. My term ended in 07. They terminated us in 07. I'm going to tell you why. It's my fault why we did it. Remember, it was a partisan board now. Now, we still administered the elections, and we were fair with that, but some of the decisions we made came down to partisanship. That's just how it was back in the day. So when there were candidates running for office, another thing that we would oversee were campaign finance reports. Campaign finance reports are oftentimes the bane of the existence of novice and first-time candidates. You need an accountant, and God bless those people that think that they can handle all their campaign finance transactions on their own, because if you make a single mistake, not only can you get fined, you might go to jail. So the money that you use specifically for political purposes, when you have a political fundraiser, when you are a registered candidate for office, you can't spend that money on whatever you want. And here's what's tough for a lot of legislators, especially. So if you make $57,000 to $58,000 as a state legislator, either as an assembly member or in the Senate, that ain't a lot of salary, especially in today's world where everything is too damn expensive. That's not a lot of money. But you might have $390,000 in your campaign account. But in your personal checking account, where you got to pay your bills, you got to pay your Visa and your MasterCard, you got to pay the rent, you got to pay the car payment and the car insurance and your rent and your mortgage, you might only have $19.14 in your checking account. But your campaign finance account, for the public office that you are occupying or seeking, you might have $390,000. Do you know how many people have been tempted to take a little $1,500, little $1,200, little $1,300, little $750 from that campaign account where they have a third of $1 million, but in a personal checking account, they got $19.14 and several checks are about to clear? You go to jail for that. So we on the State Elections Board, we had to oversee that. Campaign finance violations, and usually we were lenient on the candidates. We also would hear challenges to nomination signatures. So if Zach is running for the state assembly against Kerry Noni, that's an election I'd love to see, and they got to submit nomination signatures, meaning you need a number of signatures from qualified electors in the district in which you were seeking office. You submit those signatures. They get approved. You get on the ballot. In some races, you need 200 signatures. Some of the signatures that you get are going to be from people that are felons. They're on paper. They're going to be from people who are not qualified electors because they don't live in the district. You might even get signatures from someone who is 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. Or you might have one person in a family sign the names of everybody in their household, which would invalidate those signatures because they're not real and they're not authentic. So if you need 200 signatures and you're out collecting them and you're talking to people, hey, I'm Zach Simmons. I'm running for office. Will you sign my nomination papers if you fit the criteria? And people most of the time will sign your nomination papers. Well, a lot of times people will not be qualified electors and sign your papers. So when you turn in your 200 signatures, they got to be verified. And if five people either didn't live in the district or they didn't meet the age requirement or they were on paper felons, you now have 195 signatures. You didn't meet the 200 signature threshold. You are not getting on the ballot. And that happens more times than you can imagine. So when candidates circulate nomination papers, they are encouraged to get additional signatures. So if you need 200, you better get 400 and hope that you have 200 that are valid. So we would take up those kind of situations as well, where people didn't turn in enough signatures to get on the ballot. Another thing that we took up when I was on the state elections board appointed by Governor Jim Doyle, I was young. I was like 29 when I got appointed. I was a young whippersnapper. Everybody else were all old white people. They're very old. They're all probably still alive, though, because white people, I don't know if you know this, live forever. We die just on regular Fridays. You know what I mean? Like, we're just black folks. Ain't nothing to do today. I guess I'll die. White folks will live to punish your whole family for three generations. It's, I can't explain it. However, I digress. So we would take up the format of the ballot. And we knew as Democrats and Republicans on the state election board that these ballots were really super complicated. We tried to simplify them as much as possible, use the biggest font we could, and make sure that there was actual instructions or information available to people who had some confusion with the ballots. Here's the thing. You don't need to be literate to vote. I don't care if you know how to read or write your own name. That should not prevent you from voting. And so we actually floated the idea of color coding the ballots. Red is for Republican, blue is for Democrat. So if you, and back then we had straight party voting. They got rid of that because that just helped the Democrats way too much. You guys remember straight party voting? The Republicans got rid of that when they got into legislative power because it made Democrats, it made it easy for Democrats to win. So let's say we have a, so, well, I shouldn't say let's say. November 5th, we got a presidential election. You're also going to have a U.S. Senate election. You're going to have congressional elections in all eight districts in Wisconsin. You're going to have state Senate, state assembly. All the partisan elections are going to be on your November ballot. That ballot is going to have so many names on it. It's going to be heavy. It's going, if you pick it up, it's going to weigh a lot. There's going to be so many things on it, right? So if you know that you're a Democrat and you love the Democrats a lot very much, you only want to vote for Democrats. You're not going to vote for any Republicans. When we had straight party voting, so you get your ballot, okay? You get it. This is even back before voter ID. You could just walk in to the polling location and be like, hi, here to vote. Here you go, boo. Go vote. Now you're going to give me your name and sign the poll book. Do y'all know it didn't used to be like that at all? Hi, you here to do the voting thing? Yeah, I think so. All right, here, go vote. Here's a ballot. Go to the park and have lunch. Like, they didn't even care back in the day. Now, show your ID. Where's the polling location? Got to look in the poll book. Give me your signature, and if your signature's not valid, I'm going to shoot you in the face. It's horrible now. It didn't used to be like that. It used to be an open process, you see. So straight party voting essentially meant this. If you go on to vote in a general election and you wanted to vote for all Democrats, but you didn't want to have to go through every little office like county treasurer, register of deeds, secretary of state. You ain't want to have to go through all that. You could just mark Democrat on the top of your ballot and turn it in, and it would cast a single vote for every Democrat that was on that ballot. They got rid of that because they made it too easy for people. If you just want to vote for all the Republicans, you didn't have to go through every little office, state assembly, state senate, any other partisan office. You didn't have to go through and mark every single one at the top of that ballot. You could just mark Republican and turn that joker in. It took 10 seconds. They got rid of that. We also want to make the ballots color-coded, but of course the Republicans shot that down. So I'm going to take a break. I'm going to come back. I still need to get to the election results. I'm over here talking about my role of how I ended the state elections board. It wasn't illegal, even though the Republicans tried to sue me. Oh, yeah, yeah. I had to get a lawyer. Oh, it's very bad. The Democratic Party of Wisconsin had to hire me a lawyer because, listen to me, the whole Republican Party of Wisconsin named me in a lawsuit. I don't know if y'all have ever been sued before, but I got sued by, oh, what's the lady's name? She runs for everything and loses big time. What is the lady's name? Aisha Griffin, who one year ran as her own political party. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Zach, don't censor this because this was actually public. Anybody who voted could have saw this. The political, she wasn't a Democrat. She wasn't a Republican. Her party was not the white man's bitch. Not kidding you. And they said that they had to put that on the ballot because if they didn't put her party, not the white man's bitch, on the ballot, it would violate her First Amendment free speech rights. So she actually ran as a not the white man's bitch party. She lost very badly, very hard bet. She sued me. So I've been sued many times. I mean, it's never amounted to anything, knock on wood. But the Republican Party tried to sue me because I did something on the state elections board that made them very angry and upset with me. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to tell the story about how I single-handedly ruined it for everybody. It's my fault. I'm even in the Wisconsin Blue Book. It's like the almanac of all of the stuff in the government. Sherwin's name is in there. It's probably written in bold, like, this Negro here, he ruined it for everyone. I'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
So, Keon used to play this song. It's called Blast by Marcus Miller, and it's an instrumental. Marcus Miller is a famed bass player. And I heard it on the Man Show one Friday. I was like, I'm stealing, I'm playing it, putting it in my bumper music. I got reminders of that good brother everywhere I go. May he rest in peace. But here's how I ruined everything. I was on the state election board between 2005 and 2007, appointed by the governor, and then my colleagues unanimously voted to appoint me as chair. Every year we elect a new chair. I was elected as chair. So in 2006, Governor Doyle was facing a really, really tough Republican opponent, former member of Congress, guy by the name of Mark Green. And Mark Green was likely going to beat Democratic Governor Jim Doyle in that 2006 gubernatorial election. He had the momentum. He had the money. People were dissatisfied with Governor Doyle. Outstate Republicans that maybe had voted for him in 2002 did not want to vote for him again in 2006. Governor Doyle very well may have lost that race. So here's what we did on the Wisconsin State Elections Board, which got it essentially canceled permanently. We looked at a particular rule, and so every state elections board gets to essentially recreate rules based upon the current elections in front of them, in front of the state of Wisconsin at that moment. Meaning, if a previous election board made a decision, we had no obligation to honor that. Tom Barrett was also a member of Congress. He also ran for governor. When Tom Barrett was in the House of Representatives, he raised a lot of money, millions and millions of dollars, because federal lobbyists have a lot of money in which they can give to congressional candidates because members of Congress vote on legislation that could be very helpful or very hurtful to big, large corporate interests like big pharma, as an example, big insurance, big tech. And if you vote on behalf of big pharma, big insurance, and big tech, they will reward you with lavish fundraisers and give you all sorts of money because the less regulation those major industries have, the more money, more profit they can make. And they're very willing to share a bit of their profit with members of Congress who vote in their favor. You guys all understand that. So when Tom Barrett was in Congress, he raised a ton of money. And then he was able to transfer that money that he raised in Congress to run for governor, even though you're not supposed to do that because that money came from national, if not international, special interests. We shouldn't have that money in a Wisconsin gubernatorial race. You should raise your money from Wisconsinites or from special interests that are in Wisconsin instead of being able to raise your money from all over the world or all over the country when you're a member of the House of Representatives. But that state elections board, before I was there, allowed Tom Barrett to use all the millions of dollars that he raised when he was in Congress in his Wisconsin gubernatorial race. Fast forward to when Sherwin gets on the state election board. Mark Green, who had like $1.2, $1.3 million going into the last like 3 weeks of the election against Jim Doyle in 2006. Jim Doyle had money, but I don't know if he had that much. Mark Green had a fundraising advantage. He had momentum. He had rural Wisconsin on his back. Mark Green was going to beat Jim Doyle. We needed to keep a Democratic governor because at the time, the Democrats had the supermajority. We had Democratic majorities in the state assembly, the state senate. We had to keep the governor. A Republican governor would screw up our whole plan. We even had a liberal Wisconsin state Supreme Court. So we had a four-fecta, not just a trifecta. So we had to keep Governor Doyle. So I hashed a plan. I said, how much money does candidate Mark Green have in his campaign account? Whoever our staff person, oh, he's got $1.2 million. I said, okay, how much of that $1.2 million did he raise when he was a member of Congress? And I think the staff person said, I don't know, all of it. I said, huh, what if we made up a rule that said if you're running for a statewide office, you can't use money to fuel your campaign that you raised when you were in a different office, when you were in a federal office? And they said that is totally legal, it is legitimate, it is permissible. So I called a vote amongst my colleagues and I asked them, now there was a whole Roberts rule and a whole procedure. If you all think that Republican Mark Green should not be able to use money that he raised when he was in the House of Representatives, a federal office where he could raise money from all over the world and special interests nationally, if you believe he shouldn't use that money in this current gubernatorial race against Jim Doyle, please say aye. Cast your vote. Well, there was five Democrats on the state elections board and I was the chair. So here's what we did. 3 weeks left in the campaign. We made Mark Green return all of the money that he had in his gubernatorial account back to his congressional account. We bankrupted his campaign. So for the last 3 weeks, Mark Green had zero money, no radio ads, no TV ads, couldn't hire people to knock on doors, couldn't have any canvassers, none of that. We bankrupted his campaign, and it was legal and it was legitimate. It was incredibly partisan, but that's what we did. And so for the next 3 weeks, Governor Doyle could run his TV commercials, send his direct mail with zero competition from Mark Green. None. So all you heard from was Jim Doyle. Jim Doyle was all on the TV, all up in the video, dancing in the video. It was only Jim Doyle. But for the next 3 weeks, Mark Green did nothing but complain about the Wisconsin State Election Board. There were a bunch of partisan political hacks. And I'm saying to myself, we're just playing the game. That's the game. We're playing the game. You shouldn't use the money that you raised in Congress to use in the gubernatorial race. And Mark Green was like, but you let Tom Barrett do it. And I said, respectfully, Mr. Green, I wasn't on the board at the time. Mark Green lost. Jim Doyle won. When I say the Republicans in the state legislature were mad, that's an understatement. They were seething mad that we bankrupted their potentially winning gubernatorial candidate with 3 weeks left in the race. Made him give all his money back. So they sued me. Didn't go anywhere because what I did was legal and legitimate and within the bounds of the Wisconsin State Election Board. But here's what the Republicans did when Jim Doyle got elected and got sworn in. And here's the other thing. I was up for almost any job that I wanted in the Doyle administration. There's a whole other story behind that, too. And there was a whole campaign to smear me and to defame me. Oh, I got stories for days, y'all. So the first, it was Assembly Bill 1. So Jim Doyle got sworn in January 2007. The first order of business was, we are going to completely dissolve the state elections board because of the partisan nature of what happened when I was chair. And Jim Doyle was like, hell, I'm not running for governor again. I'll sign it. So literally Assembly Bill 1 was to disband the Wisconsin State Elections Board and its partisan nature in favor of a government accountability board that we be, that would be made up of a panel of all judges who were nonpartisan. So sorry, not sorry. We're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on the 101.7 on your FM dial, or 101.7 The Truth if you go to the internet, or 101.7 The Truth if you go to the YouTube. I'll be right back.
More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. It's The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Gotta do some election results. I was voter number 22 yesterday at noon, which, yeah, but my ward sucks. I don't know what it is about Ward 159. If you live in Ward 159 and you're listening right now, actually, I bet nobody who lives in Ward 159 is listening right now, because if you listen, you would vote more. I might be the only person that's listening to Black Talk Radio right now that lives in Ward 159, and I'm only listening because I'm talking. Y'all are lousy over there. Like, y'all need to do better. We vote at the Sherman Cultural School of Arts and the Culture on 51st and what that is there, like 51st and Burleigh, just like 51st and Chambers. That's where we vote at the school. And you walk in and walk up some stairs. You got to walk down some stairs into, you go into the gym, the big ass gym with like five or six different polling locations all in the gym. It's just crickets, just nothing going on. Just here comes Sherwin walking in. I pull out my ID and got the two poll workers right there.
What your name is?
Sherwin. Sherwin Hughes.
What it is? Let me see your ID.
And then the one poll,
I found him. Page 22, Sherwin Hughes. He had signed the poll book.
And then they got to find your name in the other poll book to make sure it matches.
Here it is, page 29. No, page 32. Here it's Sherwin Hughes. There you go. All right, here your ballot. Here your voter number. Here your little pen. Let me explain the ballot. I said, no, I'm a voter. I'm a veteran. I know how to do it. Nah, there's some stuff on the back. Now you got to look at the both sides. I got it, Gertrude, Maud. I got it.
Took my ballot and tell me I need to look at the ballot. They're going to try and explain the ballot to me. I went and went to the little cubicle. It's a little blue cubicle that you go vote in. I got that ballot. I said, what the hell is this? Do I read the Spanish part? Or the English part? What's this up here? Partisan primary, Democrat, Republican, Constitutional Party, Green Party, Milwaukee County Treasurer, Representative of the State Assembly, and then the Republicans. And then where's the referendums at? Who are these people? I don't know you people, and everything is in Spanish. Let me say something. I bet you it ain't not nan one person in Ward 59 of all 1,500 people that live in that ward. Ain't not nan nobody speaks Spanish, but our ballot is Spanish as hell. Cinco. Salito lindo. Sunday. The whole ballot. I don't need to read all this. It's the whole thing. So this makes it longer and more complicated, whatever. So I voted, and some of you voted too. Didn't really have any partisan elections for my state offices, as my state senator, LaTanya Johnson, does not have a Democratic opponent, nor will she have a Republican opponent in the fall. And my state representative, who is Supreme Moore Omukunde, who, yep, that's right, is the son of Congresswoman Gwen Moore. He doesn't have an opponent either. But there was a couple of controversial races. Ryan Clancy, who was a former county board supervisor, now is the state assembly representative to the 19th district, which is basically the east side UWM going down to the Bayview area, a little bit of Cudahy, a little bit of St. Francis, who is an avid pro-Palestinian who has said a number of anti-Semitic remarks against the Jewish people. In fact, he even held an event like an official government event at the protests on the UW-Milwaukee campus in support of the Palestinian people, because 30% of the people that live in the 19th Assembly District are Jewish. I thought that Ryan Clancy's anti-Semitic remarks would ultimately get him to lose that race. He actually was successful and was reelected to the 19th Assembly District. He beat a gentleman by the name of Jared Anderson. Ryan Clancy gets 6,641 votes, or 54.88% of the vote. Jared Anderson got 5,460 votes, or 45.12% of the vote. Wisconsin State Assembly District number 18, where the current city attorney, Evan Goyke, he vacated that seat. So there was a Democratic primary for that race, vacated by the current city attorney, Evan Goyke. Margaret Arney beats Angela Kennedy to represent the very good people of the 18th Assembly District. Margaret Arney gets 4,238 votes, or 66.08% of the vote. Angela Kennedy in the 18th Assembly District comes up short. She gets 34.92% of the vote. If I'm not mistaken, Margaret Arney don't even live in Milwaukee. I think she lives in the Wauwatosa. Figure that one out. What else we got? No, that one's not relevant. How about a state assembly district number 12? That is a state assembly district that was vacated by Dora Drake, because now Dora Drake went from Assemblywoman Drake to now State Senator Drake. That was a 1-2-3-4 person Democratic primary. You had Decorah Gordon, Katrina Morrison, Brandon Williford, and Russell Goodwin. Russell Goodwin, a former county board supervisor, he gets in that four-way primary 32.78% of the votes. Brandon Williford comes up just short at 29.39% of the vote. Katrina Morrison gets 1,395 votes, or 26.82 percentage points. Decorah Gordon brings up the rear at 573 votes, or 11%. Only about 6% of the votes separated the top 1, 2, 3 finishers. Russell Goodwin will go on and face Deanna Alexander, who was running as an independent in November. I'd imagine Russell Goodwin will likely beat Deanna Alexander. To succeed Lakeisha Myers, who vacated her state assembly seat so that she could run for the 4th Senate District, she will be succeeded by Saquana Taylor. Saquana Taylor is a former county board supervisor and former member of the MPS school board. Saquana Taylor gets 83.54% of the vote. She will go on to represent the good people in the 11th Assembly District. Amelia Heredia gets 774 votes, or 16.46%. Did I get that wrong? The 12th Assembly District is Lakeisha Myers. That's where there was the 1-2-3 four-way primary. Okay, we're going to talk about the 4th Senate District in hour two. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.